Bez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shleish V'Esen, the 23rd chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Mechin, Laws of Sales and Sivikin, the Book of Acquisitions, where we continue in a related vein of a previous perek regarding when things are nondescript, what's being sold. In this perek, we discuss regarding the purchasing of an entity, but not for it itself, but rather for what it produces, what's known as peiros. The Rambam begins Halacha off regarding selling the guf l'peiroisa, the entity for its produce. So makna odma guf l'peiroisa, a person could transfer the ownership of a body, of an entity, for its derivatives, for its produce, b'mecha, whether through a sale, b'matana, whether through a gift, b'matna shchimirav, which is a unique gift, that of the dying person, v'einze makna dovash lebelayim, and this is not considered giving over transfer of an object which has not yet come to the world, which we spoke about previous parak regarding that is not able to be done. Why is this different? Because the entity is here, the tree is here, the item is here, and therefore there's something here that the acquisition can take effect on, and he's giving him a transfer of the peiros of that item. So halamaza demo, could this be compared to? In other words, the Rambam wants to go ahead and stress this idea that one could transfer ownership of a body for its utilities in a limited way, which is more common, which is this example that the Rambam gives of l'seicher bayis oisod l'chaber. Someone is leasing, is renting a house or a field to his friend, shlo hikna lo haguf, where he's not transferring ownership of the object itself, because that he has to give back at a later point in time. Ela hanos haguf, rather it's only the benefit, the pleasure of the item itself, which is the ability to live over there, to utilize that object. That's a limited capacity, but it doesn't actually have the actual body itself. Now, it's not considered something that has no substance or not bala ilam, because there is the item itself that's being utilized, and that's the same thing that we're saying over here of being makna the guf l'peiros. As Rambam says, Allah beis kitzah hausol. So, kagoyin shemachar shenosin sod l'peiros sel. For example, if he sells or he gifts a field for its produce, that's bein lizman kosa, whether it's for a set amount of time, bein kol yimei chayv shel moicher shel lekech, whether all the days of the life of the seller or the buyer, but whatever it is, it's not the field itself, but it's for the payers of the field. And so, let's say he's selling or giving a tree for its fruits, or the sheep for its shearings of the wool, or an animal, a maidservant for its offspring, or a slave for its handiwork. And all these things, even though essentially that item is not here yet, but it's that object which is here for those items, which therefore by kol all these things mimkarim at nice of kayaman, the sale or the gift is going to be valid and acquires it right away, even before these payers are even bolayil. Halacha gimel. Now, machar abdul knas, let's say, but if someone sells the slave for the penalty, which is shem yugach v'yomus, where if the slave is going to be gored by an ox and is going to die, that they're stipulating that yikunash lekech, that the biblical penalty of giving 30 shkalim to the owner of the slave will belong to the buyer, and that's what he's selling the slave for. He has no rights to the slave, only for the knas. So it's a suffix, that's a situation of doubt. Is that similar to Elon the Peiraisa, which does work, or maybe it's not similar, because there, first of all, the produce is the norm to come, and it's also offspring of the tree itself. In contrast to the penalty, first of all, it's not something from the body of the slave itself. And also, it's not definite that's going to come, because maybe it's not going to happen. Even if it happens, maybe the owner of the ox is going to admit, and therefore it's going to be potter from Maid B'Knas. So, Lefikach, therefore, like in every situation of doubt, where we have the Talmudic dictum of a Maitzim Mechaber L'Baraya, so Leikon, the buyer has not acquired it. But from Tafas HaKnasim, if he does grab the penalty when it does happen that the slave gets killed, then Eimetzim Yod, we don't take it away from him, because ultimately whoever is Muxik at that time, we're not going to remove it from him. Halacha Dalad. Machar Ilan Lazeh U'Peiroisav La'achar. Let's say he sells the tree to one person, and the fruits of the tree to someone else. Now, specifically, the fruits of the tree, not the tree for its fruits. So therefore, it's a Davash Lebel Oilam. So l'shir makom haperis, he has not left over an area for the produce. In other words, we don't say that the seller is intending to leave over for the second person a place of the tree for the fruits, like deka l'peirosav, because he didn't explicitly say that. And the v'vein lachak klum, the other one doesn't have anything. Avla machar ilan, but if let's say he sold the tree b'shir peirosav la'atzmai, but he's leaving over the produce for himself, oh, then harishir makom haperis. Then we say that he left over the branches, which is where the fruits grow on, for himself, although he didn't specify, like we say for the other person, but He leaves over generously for himself, and therefore it's like as if he stipulated that it should be the case of the Ilon Lepedoisa, where you're leaving over space in the tree, and therefore has what to take effect on, and therefore he is going to be able to keep it. Halacha Hei continues regarding selling for a limited amount of time. Someone sells the actual body, the property itself, for a limited amount of time. So it's a sale. And the buyer, the consumer, could utilize the property as his heart desires. And they could eat the produce all the that timing of how long the sale is for. At the end, then it goes and it gets returned to the owner. Now, in Halach above, the Ram continues regarding different types of sales. And he opens up by discussing a question of the previous Halach. Now, what type of difference is there? As we said in the previous halacha, if he sells a piece of property but for a limited amount of time, or whether he's giving over the ownership for its payers, which payers doesn't mean just its fruits. It means its utility. It means it's an outgrowth of it. So essentially, they're the same thing. The guy's not getting the land itself because he has to give back. At the same time, he gets to use the land for whatever he wants it for. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is, Shakoin Lepedus, because someone who acquires it for its payers, he cannot change the form of the property. He cannot build, he cannot destroy, because he has nothing in the karka. It's only Lepedus. But if someone buys it for a certain amount of time, who buying the behaviors, he could build, he could destroy. And for that limited amount of time that he has the property, he could do as if he had acquired it forever for that time that he has it. Because it's a kinyan in the karka itself. It's just going to end when the time is up. Now, what's the difference there is if someone sells this field for its produce, or between someone who sells the fruits of this field to his friend? And essentially, what it seems the Rambam is asking is, why is it when one case that the sadezula periseha, it is a kinyan, in contrast to when you're selling pears of the field, which we said that's a double shalai b'la'olam, because it's not sadezula periseha, it's not selling the field for its pears, rather selling the pears of the field, which are not here, and it's not in the gufa karka. What's the reason for that difference? Because shameicha pears ha-sade, because if someone sells the produce, the offspring of the field, like we mentioned before, that doesn't give the consumer any rights in the field at all. I feel he comes even to come in. He has no rights in the karka. Only when he has to remove the payers. And the owner of the field could utilize it as his desires is. Therefore, again, it seems to be explaining. So therefore, since he has no rights at all, so therefore it's only in the payers, and that's the shlab alone, therefore he's not going to claim it. Someone selling the field for its payers, the owner of the field cannot enter into the field only with the permission of the consumer. And the buyer could utilize the ground, the field, as he wants it. Because he has the payer, he has the sada leper seha. And therefore that's why it is going to be kingdom, because it is a dabashab alayim, because it's taking effect on the field, on the land itself. Halachas. And what type of difference is there regarding the one of the cases we mentioned, the previous halacha, if he's acquiring the field for its payers, or if someone's just renting the field from his friend? Seems to be the same thing. They're both limited amount of time, and you have the utility. Oh, the difference is, because if someone acquires the field for its produce, so he could plant it, and he could sow it, whenever he wants to, or he can leave it fallow. He can do whatever he wants. It's his field for the pears. But if someone's renting it, it's not the case. Because if the custom of the owner is to plant it 1 year and leave it fallow another year, which is good for the land, then the renter cannot deviate from that. Because the renter only has some merits in it, but not ownership. And therefore, he has to be careful to keep it as it's supposed to be. Commercial barbin is like we'll explain in the topic of rentals and perkhas and hilchas. Over there in Helchas Gimel Vav and Ches, that you can't just do it as you want. And moreover, the renter cannot go ahead and lease it out, because again, he has no ownership on the object; only has rights, personal rights to use it. But the one who acquires it, it's like a kinyan, albeit for a limited context. And Makna Lachem, Komashakon, therefore he could go and now transfer ownership of that to whoever wants to acquire it, because again, that's an ownership that he has, and therefore that's the differences between those cases. Halacha Tes continues regarding selling other types of derivatives, peres, but not necessarily fruits in the common translation, but rather the offspring of dovecots and of that of a beehive. So Amalecha Peres Shevach, if someone sells the peres, the what's the derivative of the shevach, of the dovecot, the peres kavetis, or the fruits of the beehive, lechaber to his friend, so kana, that buyer has acquired it. It's not considered selling something that has not yet come to the world. Why not? Because he's not selling him the doves that are going to be born or the honey that's going to be made here in this beehive. Because again, he's selling the dovecot for its pears or the beehive for its honey. And the reason why that is, even though it doesn't specify that, is because the dovecot or the beehive is not significant in its own right. So obviously, its intention is as a secondary for the primary, which is the peiris or the dvash, and therefore it's taking it's saying that I'm selling you this for that, and therefore it must be like we're saying it's shevich lepeiris bekeberes ledivsha, and the shevich and the keberes are bala oilam, and therefore the sale could take effect because shareiv kaseicha amas amam lechaber. It's like someone who's leasing a canal of water for his friend. The guy, the buyer, could benefit from all that gets caught inside that canal. So just like over there, he acquires the fish, even though they're not coming from the water itself. So to over here, he acquires the doves and the honey, even though their things are extrinsic from the object itself. That's all included. So to acquire the dovecot for its offspring, just like when he's selling a tree for its fruits. And then cool, in the halach of all these cases, like someone who rents a house from his friend, k'moi shemarnu, like we explained this in halacha aleph, shuvenenu b'chalanoi she'eshpoi, at least in this regard, it's similar that you can have all types of benefits that there are, and b'chen k'ritzim is anything that's similar to this. Halacha yud, habeyim v'afroichen atzmam, she'eshpoi she'eshpoi. Now, the eggs and the little chicks that are there in the dovecot itself, loy k'noisim b'ala she'eshpoi, the owner of the dovecot himself has not acquired these eggs and these young chicks, and obviously that means he cannot go ahead and transfer the ownership and sell it to someone else, kozman shle perochu, as long as they have not flown yet. Why? Why has he not acquired it? Because if it was a gezeres chamhi, the Rambam's opinion is this is a rabbinic decree, umeshum le'sikach im alabanim nogubo, because this is a related to the iser of not to take the mother while it's on the children, where the rabbis decreed the prohibition of taking the eggs or the chicks as long as the mother's on it because of this pasuk of Yikechem, because that's the Rambam Shita, that Shaluach HaKein, that's biblical, is only on taking the mother from the children. Like it says, Le'sikechem Alabon. But taking the children from the mother is not biblically prohibited, but it's rabbinically prohibited because if you let you take the eggs and the chicks, you might come to take the mother, which would be the biblical prohibition. So therefore, we don't let you even, it's not even yours, as long as they didn't fly it, because that would be related to the Issa Deraisa. So if someone wants to go ahead and give over ownership of these chicks and these eggs to his friend, which again he doesn't have rights in yet, the way he could do it to avoid the biblical issur of Shiluach HaKein is metapech al shevich. So what you do is you bang on the dovecot, so the mother flies away. Now you lift it up from the ground. Then he could go ahead and transfer ownership to his friend, because even if the mother comes back, it doesn't have any more of the mitzvah Shaluch HaKein. Because Shaluch HaKein is only by a nest that's hefka and wasn't prepared. Now, since here he already acquired the nest, because he could, because the mother already flew away, so he already has the eggs and the chicks, which is the kin, so there's no more isra anymore of taking away the mother. And he could transfer this ownership either bikinyan, which the classic translation of that is chalipin, with the transfer of a bartering, like a bekarka, or from the ground with a kinya of agav, meaning by selling a piece of land, with that you sell a dint of that, these birds, or any other type of thing that could be used to acquire movable items like these eggs by meshicha or agba, and then you can go ahead and sell it to your friend. If someone buys the offspring of the dovecot from his friend, so in your little kol agizolis shel voldu b'me'ate, cannot take all the birds that can be born from this point onwards. Why? Because then what's going to happen is that the mothers, which he doesn't acquire the mothers, because he's only acquiring the pedis of the shevich and not the shevich itself, and the mothers considered the foundation of the dovecot itself, the mothers are going to run away because they're going to be all alone without any of their offspring. So Nimsa Shechrev Kol HaShevich comes out, he's going to destroy the whole dovecot, which he has no rights to do. Ela Manichman, rather, what he does is he leaves from these birds that are born, he leaves some of them to settle the dovka that it should remain. And how many birds does Yosef leave over? So it depends. If there were a pair of the mothers, meaning with its spouse, uvonis, and the daughters with their spouses, when you're selling the payers, so what you do is like this. So first you go ahead and you leave over the first pair of birds that are born from the mothers, so that there should be companionship of the mothers with the first pair of birds, and with the daughters that are with them. In other words, these that were there at the time of the sale, because according to the Rambam, you need to have two pairs for the companionship. One that was there at the time of the sale, and also another one that's going to remain after he bought it. Umaniach, b'mashilid habonis. Now you also leave over now from what the daughters are going to give birth, also to have shtei brichas, for them to have two peers, because just like the mother needs two peers that are born to them, one before, one after, so too the daughters need to have two peers that are born to them. And that's Kadesh Yisavtsu Habanis, is so that the daughters should have companionship, because the daughters do not find companionship with their mother's companionship, but rather it's only with their own offspring. Im Shtei HaBricha Shailidu, together with the two peers that they gave birth to. So ultimately it comes out that you really have to leave five peers. You have the peer of the mothers, you have the peer of the daughters, which both of them were there at the time of the sale. You have another peer that the mother gave birth to. And then you have the two peers that the daughters give birth to that were there, that the daughters were there at the time of the sale. Two peers that they give birth to also remain with them. Now, all those birds that are born after the two peers of the daughters and the one peer subsequently of the mother, then that all belongs to the buyer. Halachi Gimel. Halakech peiris kaberes mechaberev. Someone buys the peiris, the product of the beehive from his friend. So netel shleish nechilim. It takes three swarms of the bees, zechazeh, one after the other, because bees give birth every 19 days, a stream of bees. So he takes three swarms, one after the other. Mekam elach, after those first three, netel nechilim manich nechil. So he takes the swarm and he leaves the swarm. Ked eliyash v'sekaberes, again, to settle the beehive, that they shouldn't all be taken. And that's because the best bees are born first, and then it gets less, so he takes the first three, which are the best, and then he takes every other one. If someone buys a honeycomb from his friend, that's the wax, what they make, that they put the honey in, he has to leave two honeycombs in the beehive, because the bees need it themselves to sustain themselves. And if there's not none of them left, the bees are going to fly away and going to destroy it. So you have to leave over two honeycombs. Halacha Tezvav concludes regarding chopping a tree in a way that it could be able to be sprout from anew. So if someone buys an olive wood from his friend to chop down his tree, in other words, he only sells it to him to chop it down, but not to totally destroy it. And if he has to leave over from the trunk what it could sprout again after he cuts it down, it's just every single tree is different according to its nature. So by the olive tree, manicha ilan samach la'aretz, he has to leave from the tree close to the ground, shtei groifiyos, two fistfuls, b'kaitzis, and that's where he cuts. Lokach basula shikma, if let's say he purchased a virgin shikma, which shikma is either sycamore, it's a wild figs, that it's the basula, the virgin, is that it was never ever cut before. So therefore, it needs a large remnant so that it could sprout again from new. So you have to go above the ground three hand breaths, and then you can cut. Now, sadin shel shikama, which is the shikama that was already cut once before, so that only needs, shnei tefachim, only needs to leave two hand breaths. B'sharlans, regarding other trees, tefach b'kaitzis, you only have to leave one hand breath and cut. B'kanam b'gufanam, regarding reeds and regarding grapevines, minam b'kak ulamalam, from the knot in the tree, which is the lowest knot, from there on above is where you can cut. But the kalmarazim regarding palm trees and regarding cedars, chayfu mashush, there you dig and you uproot, cut off all the roots. And the reason for that is the fish ain't kizay machlef. Because once you cut off from the top, even if you leave over from the roots, it's not going to sprout anymore, it's not going to be effective, and therefore there's no point leaving over there because anyway it's not going to sprout from, the trunk's never going to regenerate, and then you rip out the whole thing.